Valerie is leading kids this morning, so thank you to Val for her efforts there. So confusing. Pretty exciting. We have Leo and Lily's family here joining us. And they, yeah. Aaron, are you good to go? We are studying in the book of John. We are now John chapter 15. And Aaron, let me go ahead and have you read through this whole chapter. We will study the whole chapter today.
John 15, 1 to 27. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from the Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you: a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours too. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning.
Very good. Thank you, Aaron. Before you sit down, let's split up into groups. English speaking, we'll put on the right hand side of the room. And if you're primarily Mandarin speaking or would like to just speak in the Chinese, go ahead and go to the left side of the room. Gather around the table, and we are going to ask a question and share. Just take some time to share with each other, with one another. Enjoy each other's company, get to know each other just a little bit better. So we will put English speaking on the right-hand side of the room. And if you're primarily Chinese speaking, go ahead and move to the left side of the room, okay? We'll gather. Let me get these. I'm going to turn the fans off, okay? On the left-hand side, or right-hand side of the room, primary Chinese speaking on the left-hand side of the room. The question for this morning, what is your experience with gardening? Gardening, is it something that is enjoyable for you, something you really like to do? And I know it was hard to do this week with the rainy weather that we got, but yesterday, boy, that was a good day. Get out there. Gardening, okay, and put it on a scale, 1 to 10. 10 would be to, you know, you really, really like gardening, love gardening. It would do it 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, or maybe you're a 1. Something like you have no interest in gardening at all. The closest you get to gardening is picking out a bag of produce at the grocery store. So give yourself a ranking. Perhaps you're a PhD in the field of agriculture, or maybe you're a full-time farmer, or maybe you work professionally in the field of agriculture, or maybe you just have a house or an apartment, and gardening for you is one little pot with one small flower. Now for me, let me go ahead and share my example. I like gardening. I garden maybe 1 hour a day at the most. That's all I can handle. I'm done pretty quickly. But I would rank myself as a 5. I think I'll try to do some get out and garden at least once a day for at least a little bit. So I'd count it as a hobby, and I do enjoy the fresh fruit and the produce that results from gardening. So share around the table. Take a few minutes, share around the table as best you can about your gardening and your experience with gardening. Are we able to regroup? I don't know if you had a chance to, everybody had a chance to share, but we'll go ahead and move on here. Feel free to grab a chair that works for you, is comfortable for you. Let me pray for us as we get into God's word here. So, Father God, just to quiet our hearts, hearts and minds, give us open ears to hear your word and a direction and understanding, even wisdom, Lord, we pray for that, to understand this passage, your message to us this morning. Thank you for this privilege of gathering together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. John 15, we'll get to that in just a bit. If you had your Bibles open, think about who the characters are in this story that we've got, John chapter 15, who's doing the speaking. And if you read that, if you read through that, if you noticed what Aaron was sharing, it's only Jesus that's speaking. Just one long, what we call a discourse coming from Jesus. Now let me review where we're at in this Gospel of John. We've been working through John for, it's actually been quite a while now, so thank you for hanging in there with me. But going back to John chapter 13, we had Jesus and the 12 disciples gathering for their meal, Passover meal. Jesus gets up, washes the disciples' feet, because that usual thing, washing the feet of the guests, that was not performed when everybody arrived. Jesus actually got up and took care of that for his disciples. Then, as they're sitting down, Jesus reveals that he and the rest of the group having dinner is about to be betrayed by Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. At that point, Judas then leaves the group, and Jesus says, okay, now I'm going to give you a new commandment, and that's what I've got up on the screen here. A new commandment I give to you, John 13, verses 34 and 35. We've read this before, but it's critical. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And then right after that, Peter makes this declaration of tremendous loyalty, still in John chapter 13. Peter says, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Verse 38, Jesus answers, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And we will see that later on in the book of John. That's, in fact, what happens. And then, so that's John chapter 13. Then in John chapter 14, we get two phrases run right at the beginning. John chapter 14, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, and you believe also in me. And then in the end of John chapter 14, verse 27, I don't have these up here, but peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. That's coming from Jesus. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Comments coming from Jesus to the disciples. So what's the deal? What's the deal with all this anxiety that we have going on? Issue is Jesus is now about hours away from Judas bringing a crowd, and they're going to capture Jesus in the garden. It's nighttime. The crucifixion of Jesus, his crucifixion, his death, actually, will take place the next morning. Jesus knows that. The disciples are kind of aware of something going on. They are about to see their leader, who they've been following for the last few years now. They're about to see Jesus humiliated and actually killed. Jesus knows this, and he's giving these final assurances to the disciples, these final instructions and some assurances that things were actually going to work out. Now, as a spoiler alert, we know this, that things in fact do really work out in a big way for the disciples. Through the book of Acts, other resources, we know the thousands actually become followers of Christ, become Christians. The disciples stay faithful through this whole process. They stay strong. They're even eventually martyred for the cause of Christ. We'll see that as we go through the whole gospel story. But for right now, Jesus is giving, in John chapter 15, giving us the formula, the key for having our hearts not troubled, not anxious. The key is to remain and abide in him, stay connected with Jesus. Before that, as Aaron read for us, I am the vine, I am the true vine. Jesus says that at the start of John chapter 15, verses 1, and then again in verse 5. This is the last of seven I am statements that we've heard throughout this study in the book of John. The first six, let me just go ahead and read these. These will be familiar to you as we've gone through them. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. Verse 3. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Maybe those are all familiar with you. These first six I am statements, they are from Jesus focusing on introducing non-believers, inviting non-believers to follow him, to recognize that he's going to be the savior of the world, inviting people to follow him. This seventh I am the true vine, that is a statement for believers, the disciples, for those who have already made the choice to follow him. John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, all of this discussion, activity, of course, taking place in the Mediterranean area, an area with a climate pretty similar to what we have here, Northern California. Agriculture was a major activity, lots of vineyards and grapes, along with olives and figs. The illustration presented by Jesus, the vine, the vineyards, pretty simple, straightforward. Vines and branches, they're all connected. If a branch is not producing fruit, it's cut off. Once a branch is cut off from the vine, right, it withers and dies. Branches that do, in fact, produce fruit are pruned so that may be more fruitful over time. This is real hard for me in my personal gardening. Trying to prune a branch that's producing fruit is, you know, painful. We are the branches, though, right? We're connected to the vine. We're connected to Jesus. As we bear fruit, we are pruned. None of us are perfect. We're fallen people. We understand that we're sinful individuals. Jesus constantly cleaning us up, cleaning out the unnecessary stuff in our lives so that more of our energy and attention can be focused on producing fruit. But the fascinating thing, there will be pain in our Christian life as Jesus and God the Father prune us so that we can, again, focus our attention on producing real fruit. Now, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. How true. As the summer season has ended and cleaning up the yard a little bit, some of those branches came disconnected from the roots, and they really dried up pretty fast. Starting with verse 3, though, Jesus gets personal. He says, you. I do not think this discussion here, as Jesus is entering into this discourse, is about eternal life or salvation necessarily. Jesus speaking to his disciples here, those who are already committed to following him. There's clearly an emphasis for the disciples to remain connected connected to Jesus for fruit. Now, what is the fruit? Fruit would be new believers, just new folks coming to know Jesus Christ personally, but then also fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all of those aspects talked about in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, fruit of the Spirit. Jesus says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Remain in me, remain in you, remain in the vine. These statements, verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, happen in just these four verses. That language shows up 8 times. Remain in me, remain in you, remain in the vine. Other versions use the word abide. Abide, abide in me, abide in the vine. So how do we do that? How do we remain in Jesus? How do we abide in him? I'm going to suggest you start with a quiet time. Take time each day to be with Jesus. You alone, with his word, the Bible, every day. Remember in verse 7, it says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. This is a time, a quiet time. God, the creator of the universe, the creator of everyone, everything around you, wants to speak with you. Speak with you personally. Find a time and place that will work for you. Get alone with God. For me, a table with a cup of coffee, start of the day, that works for me. One time, I had a 30-minute bus ride to work. That worked pretty well. It was quiet, could focus on just God. The Bible, be it printed or electronic, using your phone, just quiet your heart, eliminate distractions. There are different guides available if you need those, or just come up with your own systematic approach. Maybe read a couple of chapters a day. Other days, maybe just meditate on a paragraph or two. Psalms, if you read 5 Psalms a day, in 1 month you'll get through the whole 150 Psalms. Proverbs, there's 31 Proverbs. So if you read a proverb a day, you will get through all 31 Proverbs all in 1 month. I would suggest that those two things, Psalms, Proverbs, a chapter or a section in Old Testament, a section in the New Testament. Use some bookmarks. Use your phone to help keep track of where you are. Do that. Read God's word. Then pray. Thank him for who he is, what he has done. Be sure you confess your pride, your shortcomings, and ask the Lord to speak to you personally. Be sure you open up with him and during this time with your struggles and frustrations you are having, and just be quiet with an open heart and open mind. Continuing to abide in him or to remain in him during the day as you go about your daily routines, I suggest this: take a break from your phone. Instead of checking your phone every moment, every free moment you have, take a breath and let the Lord speak to you. Let the Lord speak to you in the moment. Two other things: to remain in Jesus, abiding, have him abiding in us. Have a prayer partner or take time with a small group to regularly meet just to share with one another how life is going. And the second, I think, big issue, come to church every week. Be sure you show up, fellowship with others, hear from the Word of God, worship him, and take time and make some energy to love one another. Okay. As the Father has loved you, so has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So this is love exampled by Jesus for us, keeping his commands. Let's not make this real complicated. The new command, we already saw this, the new command Jesus gave to his disciples from John 13. Remember this, a new command I give to you. Love one another. As I have loved you, love one another. And the result of this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. This is from Luke chapter 10. Again, pretty simple. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. This man said, Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is it written in the law? Jesus replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. And you have correctly answered, Jesus, do this and you will live. And then in John chapter 15, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Question, how does the love of Jesus and our obedience to his commands give us complete joy? Your joy is complete following his commands. Now, I've never been a good athlete, but I always loved being part of a team. Favorite memories are those times when I'm a team member and everyone on the team knew what their job was. We all performed their jobs completely. The winners or the job we completed, everybody was satisfied when everything was done. I did this a while back, served on just volunteered for elections on the election day itself. A crew of us was working the elections, taking in voters and helping them go through that process. Long, long day if you know what the election cycle is like and what those election days are. But at the end of the day, even though we're really, really tired, we were satisfied. We were experienced that joy of just working together and completing our assignments. Verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down to his life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father have made known to you. This is incredible. Jesus calls us his friend. It's very touching. And again, Jesus is just doing this because it's his last comments as he's about ready to get arrested. He's going to be humiliated and crucified. And Jesus says, yes, you are my friends. You did not choose me, but I chose you, appointed you, so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, I will give you. Now, you can get into this discussion, free will and predestination and all of that. We're not going to talk about that. Focus here. I chose you and appointed you. Yet, this is final conversation Jesus is having with his disciples. He's telling them, he's affirming for them that they indeed are the ones who are will carry on the challenge. And they will experience challenges as they go through these next few weeks, months, and years. They have to realize and remember that Jesus chose them and appointed them, ordained them even, to go to work for his kingdom. Same thing for us. You and I, we all have our different skill sets, our different personalities, our different temperaments, different stages in life. God in his divine wisdom has chosen us, you and me, for us to be together this time, this place, to be his witnesses and to bear fruit one with another. And this is my command. And through going through all this, love each other, love one another. As we're ordained and chosen in this time, love one another. It's going to be difficult. We will need each other and we will need to support each other, just as the disciples did as they went out and lived life after following Jesus' death and then his resurrection. Remember, love in our world, it's defined not as an emotional, feel-good kind of story. Love in our life is a sacrificial love. It's full of service and gratitude. Love in our world, we do not need to wait to act to be obedient. Means stepping out in obedience when the Lord prompts you to do it. If you wait for when it feels right to do something, it'll never happen. It's our love, as Christ calls us to, it's one that is action-oriented. Last section, if the world hates us, hates you, keep in mind, hated me first. If you belonged in the world, it would love you as its own, of course. And as it is, you did not belong in the world. I've chosen us to be out of the world, and that's why the world hates us. We're countercultural. We do not act like the world. The world will not understand us, and that causes, of course, fear and anxiety, the unknown, and the world doesn't know us. They don't understand us. The world's ways are not the ways Jesus would have us walk, and the world will hate us for this. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no choice, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Now, there may be a question. Understand, how is salvation possible for those who've never heard the good news or Jesus coming and dying for their sins? That's another discussion. For us, we have no excuse. We've been exposed to who Jesus is, to his life, his person. Each of us individually, personally, must be prepared to meet and give an account to God as to our response as to what we know about Jesus. Jesus has given us the formula, right? We are the vine. He is the vine. We are the branches. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. This to fulfill what is written in the law, they hated me without reason. So Jesus, again, at these last few words, at the time with his disciples, giving them the heads up, the future is not going to be easy. They will encounter many, many difficulties and misunderstandings. And that's the same for us today. Life will not be fair for us. Not everybody will like us. We will not be everyone's friends. It's a difficult, difficult message. But when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth goes out from the Father. He will testify about me. And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. This is our challenge, to, in order to bear fruit, to continue to testify about him. We are not alone in this. We have the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, is with us. He is part of us. We have each other as well. In this section of John chapter 15, there are a couple of statements here, and I don't know if I just want to be sure we point these out. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Let's follow it up in verse 16. You did not choose me. I chose you, appointed you, so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. I think we have the right to ask, and we should be asking Jesus. But I think it all goes back to being sure we're abiding with him, remaining in him, remaining connected to Jesus. It all goes back to us spending time alone with God, remaining in him, alone with God in his word. And then ask. Ask, it shall be done. Ask, and it will be given. Again, if we remain in him, if we remain in him. So let's have a final song of worship, then we'll pray and close our service. Yes, Lord, indeed, we come to you and trust you for every day, each day. And what a comfort it is to know that you have our lives in your hands. And so if anyone here has not made that commitment to trust in Jesus, let me lead you in a word of in a prayer. I invite you to follow along with me to enter into this walk in trust with Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins and you rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and ask you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name, amen. And now let me close our service with a benediction reading from the book of Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen and amen.